Hey there. You're listening to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is live Financial News Talk Radio. Yeah, we're going to talk about money this hour. Yours, others, mine. Have an interesting take on Social Security tonight. If you'd like to join the conversation, 504-260-0995. You can reach us through the Winning at Life app. You can text, email, call from that. Just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life. It's a free download.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Welcome to The Money Show. For the rest of the hour, we're going to just say things into these microphones that are going to make you better with your money. 504-260-0995 if you have a financial question, not quite sure what to do. And look, we need to start focusing on the next Wine, Wisdom, and Food experience. It's coming up March 19th. And we've been talking about some of our other events that we've been doing. And, you know, we're a little enamored with the initial success there. But let's not forget the Wine, Wisdom, and Food experience at Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Be there at 6 o'clock. And what happens there is you're going to have a nice little pairing of wine that was picked out by Gregory Ricks with a presented menu from Ruth's Chris. But wrapped into all that, Gregory's going to tell you his story. Is that a good way to put it? Your story? What you're all about?
Yeah, there's a backstory. I'll share that with you. And we'll talk about some important things you need to know going forward. Creating multiple streams of income. Creating tax efficiency. And how about better management of risk? Or maybe how to create volatility control might be another way to describe that.
So there will also be a few little stories in there about your experiences in various wine countries.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you some wine tips. We're going to give you some stuff you can take away. And, you know, some of it's going to be a little bit of wine and foodie information there from my travels and learning experiences, but also with your money. Give you some ideas that you can leave there with and make use of.
Do you have a preferred wine country? I know you do Napa a lot, but you've got the stories from Italy.
Yeah, I'd like to go there and explore some more. There's a lot more to Europe than Italy regarding wine, but really did enjoy that. I'll get to do more of that someday.
That kind of bleeds over into the south of France, too, which may have to be in the wine country stops. But it is coming all up. In just a few weeks here, it is March 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. If you want to reserve your seat, there's plenty of seats available. You go to gregoryricks.com or the office number is 504-832-9200. Now, you know, things have been kind of shaky over here, economically speaking, and some people were hoping the growth would be a little better, and some people have already been predicting catastrophe since day one of the latest administration. But as much volatility and shakiness as we have over here, they're doing worse over in Europe. Mario Draghi, president of the European Central Bank, cut the growth estimate for Europe to 1.1% for this year. But here's the big one, Gregory. He also announced a new stimulus program that will start in September and run through March 2021. So these are targeted longer-term refinancing operations. It's just a bond twist, and they're being provided by the European banks or to the European banks by the ECB at an ultra-low rate. So it's a variation of quantitative easing, and they're starting to back up in September. What's the matter? Things not going okay over there? Are you guys headed in another recession? You guys don't have robust growth because we're over here chugging along at about 3%. They're a mess over there.
Yeah, well, that's part of the conversation is kind of the rest of the world is slowing, except we aren't.
They are slowed in the past tense is what it looks like. They're so scared they're doing stimulus programs already. So how does that shape the outlook for money and investing going forward when you know there's a stimulus program in Europe coming up later this year?
I think it's a wait and see of what's going on, really. If they're slowing, you know, I'd want to tread lightly. Be careful in that case. They're slowing and starting stimulus. It wasn't that long ago they stopped stimulus. That was a brief interruption when you think about it.
Yeah, and it was just what? Was it last year? No, it was the year before last when they the European Central Banks were just buying up tons of our stocks and they had their rate so low that they ended up with some negative yield bonds. You're right. That was not even 2 years ago that they were still doing that. So they just go from one emergency to the next. That's what it sounds like. We're doing a little better over here. I think we're handling it. Thought our economy was supposed to be crashing. And that sort of reminds me, we had reported on this thing from Zero Hedge in 2015, where a guy under the pen name Tyler Durden says, I can guarantee you the next recession will not happen in 2018. And you know how he knew? Because a survey of economists said 92% of them guaranteed
it would.
Yeah, it would happen in 2018. It doesn't look like it's happened unless we get some significant revisions downward. It looks like, the economists get it so wrong. They're like sportscasters. I guess it doesn't matter if they call the game wrong or get the score wrong all the time.
What you got next?
A third of the billionaires in Britain have left. What happened is they have gone to the soak the rich tax schemes. And at the time when the powers in the UK said, all right, we're going to soak them good and we might even try some of this wealth tax stuff. There was 93 billionaires in Britain. 28 of them have left or in the process of relocating. And so here's an interesting place they're going. Gregory, hold on to your seat here. Don't fall off that stool. They're going to places with low taxes. Oh, my goodness. That's so weird. 10 of the billionaires, 10 of the 28 that have left, went to Monaco, which if you're looking on a globe or if you have Google Maps up and you look at the island of Britain and you just do a radius, just start doing a circle around Britain, and where is the first entity that has low taxes, just geographically speaking? Monaco. They're just going to the closest place they can possibly go to their home that has a favorable tax rate.
Well, looking at where do the richest people live? New York, Sao Paulo.
Oh, in Brazil, yeah.
Yeah. Paris, Zurich, London, Singapore, Beijing, Taipei, Tokyo, and Seoul.
South Korea.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Paris is still on that list because they've been soaking their rich for a while and they had quite an exodus as well.
Well, you know, when you look at some of the cities, it's just Paris and I was kind of surprised at London too. They tax them pretty hard over there as well.
They have the biggest financial market in Europe, though. It's like the Wall Street for the whole continent.
Yeah, there's reasons for that there. Hey, New York as well on that. This was, the source was the Wealth Report, the top 10 cities for the super wealthy.
Well, here's where some of their tax policies go wrong. You're not going to like these numbers, Gregory. This is nasty. Part of the exodus was spurred by a hike in the income tax on the top income earners in 2010. Their new tax rate, 50%. Okay, so after a quick exodus happened right after that, they said, okay, we'll go back and we'll lower it. We'll lower the top tax rate. So they lowered it to 45%. Oh, thanks a lot, guys. But they also have a bunch of other, I mean, these sound like ticky-tack taxes to us, but their tax on dividends, 38.1%. What's our tax on dividends? Isn't that capital gains rate or like 10% or something?
Ordinary income.
That's what it is. Well, I guess it can be almost that high here.
Yeah.
So 38
or higher. Yeah. Now you're thinking about capital gains.
Is that what I was thinking?
Or anywhere from 0 to 20%. And of course, wealth that appreciates isn't taxed. You know, our system is kind of, you can grow wealth. Once it changes hands or you sell it, then you're going to pay taxes on the gains. But that's where some of people in Washington are talking about taxing it, even though you haven't sold it.
You know, it sounds odd, though, out of the list of cities you said that have a high concentration of billionaires. I can't believe there's some Chinese cities on that. I thought under communism, everyone had the same salary and everyone was equal and they all live somewhat in the same class system. They've eliminated classes. They embrace Marxism. That's so weird, Gregory. But I always thought that was interesting because after the fall of the Soviet Union,
yeah,
there was like about a 10-year span, and I think I was in college, and someone pointed out that one of the highest concentration of billionaires per capita is still in Moscow. And it was one of those, well, how did that happen?
So we're kind of at London, New York City. Look, we'll go to a break. I'll run through them when we come back.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning It Life. Your wallet's favorite show. Download the app. Your wallet will love the app, too. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Winning at Life is live financial talk radio. You want to join the conversation, maybe talk about Social Security, annuities, different kinds of those animals as well. Maybe your managed money, your 401k. Where are you on the path? What are your exits? 504-260-0995 to join the conversation with us. So I was giving you the cities. Let me back this up here. How weird is that? Let's go here. So number 10 was Berlin.
This is cities for billionaires?
Yeah, the super rich. Okay. Favorite cities. So number 10 was Berlin. Number 9, Beijing. Number 8, Shanghai. Here we go. You ready? Geneva. I just thought that's kind of cold, but hey.
Anonymous banking.
That might explain it, but is it so anonymous anymore? This digital world. Hey, did you hear about that case where the money disappeared? You know, the guy had the password to everybody's wallets or whatever.
The crypto guy.
Yeah. Number 6, did I say that was Miami? Number 5, Singapore. Number 4, Paris.
Okay.
And we're getting down to it. Number 3, Hong Kong.
Is this a slideshow? Don't you hate slideshows?
I hate it. New York is number 2. Well, you know, the thing about going through it, and I hate them completely.
And number 1?
Number 1, New York City, isn't it?
No, you just said that was number 2.
Oh, I did? New York City! London.
London?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're going to run out of them soon. Is that places they ultra-wealthy like to visit or live?
But well, that one was a little bit different, but there was some correlation there with previous list.
Well, the easy observation here is there's 2 cities in America that make the list. One of them is the greatest, most prosperous human market that the business world has available on the entire planet, and that's New York City. The other one just happens to be in a no income tax state, Miami. That is not a coincidence. That has to be part of the driving factor. Miami is not the second biggest town. It's not the third. It's not the fourth. It's not the fifth. It's like the 15th biggest town. It just happens to be the biggest one in a tax-free income state. Income tax-free state? I don't know if I'm saying that right. But are you nodding with me on that one? There's a reason why Miami's the only other city in America to make the list, and it's probably taxes.
Taxes has part, and I think access to the different regions from there. I think that is part of it. When you think of, if there's no storm coming, it's a pretty cool place to live.
Super cool place to live. Great weather.
You know, great weather, the beaches, and global access from there.
All right. Cody, Livingston Parish. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Cody?
Yeah, I had a question. I'm getting ready to retire from the military. I've got both active duty and National Guard time. And I draw VA benefits right now from when I was deployed overseas. And I was going to know if any of that's going to affect my Social Security or will I still be able to draw Social Security once I reach 80.
Were they taking Social Security out of your pay?
Yeah.
Then it's not going to affect it. Typically, where you are receiving pension money and were not participating in Social Security is when you're going to have the government offset affect that. So you're not going to have any impact.
Yeah, because I was just worried because, you know, they're both coming from the federal government, but VA and my military, I didn't know if it would, you know, offset the other, you know what I mean?
Right. Good question. Good concern, but you seem to be in good shape there.
Yeah, dodge the bullet. Anything else we can help you with, Cody?
Yeah, I have one more question. It's actually for my mom and dad was wondering, and they can't figure it out. And I was wondering too. My dad, my mom retired, but she didn't pay into Social Security, but my dad did. And right now he draws disability, and she was wanting to know if she would be able to withdraw any off of his Social Security
Now, is this because she didn't work? That she
well, she
pay?
Worked for a state job in Louisiana, but they don't, they, you know what I'm saying, they don't pay into the Social Security there. She just gets
right.
her pension.
So she has a pension in that case.
Right.
Yeah, she is going to, she might have a, it depends on the work history. Did she work outside the state? So let's assume that is a no. She's, if she's going to draw any, it's going to be very little.
Okay.
From that, because she didn't participate in there. Now, and here's the other negative as well. If he passes before her, she will not draw on, be able to draw his survivor benefits because she didn't participate in Social Security. So there's kind of two negatives there.
I
hate to break that news to you, but yeah, that's what happens. You don't see now, if she had never worked, she would be able to draw the spousal benefit off his record, which and the other is she could receive the survivor benefits of his record once she of eligible age.
That's if she hadn't worked though.
Right. I'm just giving a scenario if she had never worked, but because if you've never worked, you've never paid into Social Security. But however, when you work for a state that you're putting money into or pension, like Louisiana, for example, she didn't participate in Social Security. However, she cannot draw any benefits because of that. So just no paying into Social Security comparison is all that was.
Yeah, I was trying to get, save them a trip to Social Security office because they didn't know. I told them I didn't think that she could either, but I just wanted to, you know, I was listening to you and I was like, well, that'd be a good question to ask on top of my other one I had, you know.
Yeah.
That so is a good one.
If she's able to draw anything, it won't be much. Might be worth inquiring, though.
Yeah, and if you want to read up on it, it's called the Windfall Elimination Provision, and they have a whole section of the Social Security website with a bunch of frequently asked questions there. SSA.gov is a Social Security website. Social Security Administration, SSA.gov. You just need those three little letters, SSA.gov. Good, Cody? All right, I saw him nod.
Awesome.
We're good. Now, Cody was calling in thinking that he himself may be affected by the Windfall Elimination Provision, even though he didn't say it by name. He was worried about his Social Security being haircutted, and it turns out it's actually going to be an issue for his mom. So I'm glad we stuck with the follow-up there, though. And it's always interesting to kind of see the puppy dog head tilt when you explain the comparison that mom would be better treated by Social Security had she never worked a day in her life rather than get the pension from the public side of work with no Social Security taxes being paid in.
I want to talk about a Social Security discussion I had today. I'm going to cover that when we come back from the break. And it was turning it on in a couple months versus waiting 4 years. You know, sometimes we have that discussion and saying, oh, it's best to wait. Not always.
So
I'll tell you.
Someone looking at turning on early or someone looking at waiting for the max?
Well, they were talking about waiting for the max.
Okay.
And so we had a discussion.
Hey, I saw the stack of books is getting a little shorter. You're going to have to order another round?
Yeah, the book talking about how, look, we're talking about the new retirement rules and know that we're facing increasing taxes going forward. So I had a Roth discussion today and the conclusion was don't Roth because you're not going to benefit tax wise. But what we're needing to do is understand that taxes are going up. How can we create some future income that will not show up on the 1040? There are ways to do this. Would you like to increase your net income by it not being taxed? How would you go about doing that? I have a book I'd like to share with you. All you've got to do is call the office, 504-832-9200, or reach out to us through the Winning at Life app or email me info@gregoryricks.com. I'm going to mail you the book. So give me the information how to reach out to you to get that book to you as well.
All right. To call the office, 504-832-9200. Still coming up, Gregory's going to share a Social Security strategy story that walked into the office. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, maybe you should call Gregory. You can do what Cody and Livingston did. Get some answers and stop worrying about it and get on with your life. 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey there, it's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How you doing? Welcome to the Money Show. If you got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, this is a show for you. Call Gregory. On the front screen of the Winning at Life app, you have a few options there. One of them is call. That'll call the show. Just a couple thumb pushes. You can watch us. We're over here on Periscope and Facebook Live. If you do it through the app, it'll pull up the Periscope feed right there on the app screen for you. Here's what the average retiree spends every month. And this is one of the more popular questions is how much money will I need to retire? Well, the real question you're asking is how much income do you need to generate? How much income do you need to have coming in to maintain some semblance of the lifestyle that you enjoy right now? And on average, so a household, older household, someone run by 65 and older, spend about $45,700 a year. And that boils down to about $3,800 per month. So if you look at that, you have to assume that Social Security is going to be taking a nice little chunk of that. So if you can get a couple grand out of Social Security and your spouse can get $1,000 out of Social Security, while you're both still alive, you're only having to make up about, maybe $800 worth of income just to get in that average base. Now, the question is, where is that money going to come from? If you don't have other assets, if you don't have an outside income stream, then guess what? Your lifestyle is going to have to be pared back, and $800 a month will be missed. You also have to remember that when one of you passes away, the smaller Social Security check goes away. So now you're just back to Social Security providing about $2,000 a month out of that $3,800 average that is taken to support a household with someone 65 and older. And that becomes a little more difficult. And that usually happens later in retirement when whatever assets you did have, they may be spent down, or there could be market losses, or there could be other issues and unforeseen expenses that have whittled that down. So that is a super simplification of a very complex issue, but kind of gives you a good idea of how much money that you're going to need to generate some of that income. $3,800 though, can you do that? My Social Security is probably going to be around $2,000, and Ms. Parker, if you want to use round numbers, let's do $1,000. So I have to come up with something that's going to be $800 a month. That's going to be about $9,600 a year. I got to set something up. So that's where my 401k is going to come in. Hopefully I'm going to have some Roth IRA money in the mix and a little tax diversity as well. Because if it all comes out of the 401k, I'm going to have to take out, $1,000 a month or something just to gross up and break even at that 800 mark. So that's about the base look right there in addressing one of our more popular questions.
There was a conversation today with a couple that I spoke with. They were looking at Social Security from a standpoint of deferring both of theirs and essentially saying, we're going to turn them on at age 70. And I said, and all they had provided me was the age 70 numbers only. And so what I had to do was actually, and they said, he basically said, yeah, I went online, got these updated numbers earlier today. I said, can you log in while you're here so I could get the FRA numbers? Because they only provided the age 70 number. I don't know the login to do so. So he obviously has a resource elsewhere to get in. But since I knew what the age 70 numbers are, it was kind of easy to figure out. Because, when you defer, it increases by 8% a year. So I know what the ending number is at age 70. So we just had to do a little math and figured out what that number was. So one of the things I told him, I said, okay, you're going to create the largest check. And let's say that's about $40,000 a year by him waiting to age 70 to turn on his Social Security. But I said, and it's important to do so. And as long as your assets support continuing to defer as well, because you always have to correlate it to what you're doing overall. But I said, now being you have created the largest check, that doesn't always mean we should defer the spouse's check. So being he had the full retirement number, and I ran that number, and basically what I did was said, look, I'm going to just do it real quick and simple here, down and dirty. We're going to look at what would it be if she turned it on now, and what if she waited till age 70 to turn it on. So looking at her age 70 number was roughly about $22K a year, and her FRA number is $16K a year. When you tally up both of those columns, so the 66 through 80 being about $16,000 a year, or you look at it at FRA and running that to age 80. Both column, whenever you add it up, you're roughly at $242,000 of revenue, no matter how you did it. So I said, then why are you waiting? That income can be put into the mix now because you're not accumulating it in that period looking at it. Numbers can probably be a little bit different over time, but you have to go further out. But you're able to make use of that money now, and it's the same number when you look at it over 15 years versus waiting for more and turning it on. So you can get that income into the mix and continue deferring to age 70 for the largest check. So, you know, it always doesn't mean you should defer, and you correlate to other assets that they have coming in. We looked at their RMDs and such. Then we had discussions about whether or not we should do Roth conversions. And being where their income is going to end up here in a few years, looking at, let's just use RMD numbers and the Social Security numbers, they're at 100K a year income. So the RMD numbers are going to be, you know, roughly about 45,000 and increasing. And you're looking at 40,000 on his Social Security, her Social Security about 16. So you're right there a little more than 100,000 a year. That puts you in the 22% tax bracket in that case. So if you're going to do Roth conversion, is there a window to do it less? Because if we're not saving money, why are we wanting to do Roth conversion and give that to Uncle Sam front? One way to think about it, are you improving your tax situation or paying more taxes in the future? And that's not the case. So it really didn't make sense to look at doing that. They might have a window down the road that they could create a 12% tax bracket, but that's something to look at later down the road.
All right. If you have a financial situation, call Gregory 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Yeah, this is Winning at Life. We do this every evening at 7. If you try us and we're preempted, it's called the stream. You can reach our show, the Winning at Life app, as well the iHeartRadio app. Both are the bomb, in my opinion. I utilize both myself all the time. Winning at Life app, it's free download. Go to your app store. Oh, the iHeartRadio app is a free download as well. So you can stream us from anywhere. And that's where we have a lot of listeners across the country that pick up the show, but they also download our podcasts and listen later. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you would like to join the conversation, you have a financial situation, not sure what to do. It could be involved that story I just shared about when to turn on the spousal benefit. You know, they could have waited and have a larger check, but when they were just looking at what is the next 15 years, turning it on now created the same amount of money. So, well, if you waited, you would have gotten more, but it still paid out the same amount of money over the next 15 years. And the real impact was to continue to defer the larger benefit to grow it to $40,000. There, you know, and their other part is concerns about taxes, not wanting to just pay Uncle Sam. So when we kind of looked at their income, and I'm using the guided planning system. It's a process that we have to run scenarios, look at numbers. Where are you on the path? How's RMDs going to affect income? We've got tax calculators, Social Security calculators. So we run all kind of scenarios there. But looking at the impact of the RMDs, how where is that putting into a tax bracket? Where would that be putting them from a standpoint of RMDs? You know, say RMDs are starting out at about 47,000 in year 23, and they get up to 66,000 in 2033. But what that moves the income from a little over 104,000 to a bit over 120,000 in that 11 year period. So it didn't shift the tax bracket, something they were really concerned about. And then if we're not, one of the reasons you could justify paying upfront taxes to create Roth, even though you're not reducing the tax bracket, but you could say, well, I just want to leave as much as I can tax free behind to my beneficiaries, to my bennies. Well, that could be a goal and a reason to do that. But if it's, you're focused about your needs, you and your spouse, and not so focused on leave behind money, then why would you want to just pay Uncle Sam a whole bunch of tax money up front versus over time as well? And you're not reducing a future tax bracket by doing so, and it's not going to impact on the income. I just wouldn't like writing a big check up front, because he's going to get it through the RMDs eventually, required to take them out.
You have to have that goal conversation first, because that has to be a new conversation for a lot of people. So what are you saving for? Retirement? No, really. What are you saving for? What are your goals? Have as much money as possible? No. It's a little more intricate than that. So you had to add, you had to drill down and know before you got to this math part what their real goals were.
Yeah, it involves asking a lot of questions when they start, you know, like the first three questions are Social Security, I'm worried about taxes, and should I Roth some more money? But there was more to that, but that if we handle that, we pretty much solved everything.
You know, it doesn't sound that too far, all this tax planning and deferring income and whatnot. We had that cool conversation on the weekly wrap on the Saturday show where the big Bryce Harper contract came up, and we were talking about some of these other sports stars that just get piles and piles of money thrown at them. And you were pointing out, because the way your brain thinks is it's not always a good idea to just have a dump truck of money pulled up to your front yard and empty it out. Maybe you could spread it out and have deferred compensation over some years after you're done working. And that's beautiful as far as the tax man goes.
Yeah, instead of taking income now that you don't need, how about deferring it to a later time where maybe you're not bringing in all this income, you don't need it, so why pay taxes or higher tax rate? Can you defer it, you know, and not have to pay taxes on it at this time? You'll take later. What is old Bryce, how much is he getting, like $330 million?
That's right.
Over a dozen years, something like
13 years.
Yeah, insane money. Now, I wouldn't want to. Here's the other part. And we've talked with other people, and there's a couple that's coming into quite a bit of money on a deferral. Well, it's basically an employment contract that pays out this money for, say, 2 years. And it's a pretty big number. And, like, gosh, so you're getting max tax on that money. So, because they're asking me, well, what strategy can we utilize? Well, here's the core of it is let's reset that to a deferred comp situation. And essentially, maybe one of the simplified ways to consider it might be like a key man agreement, where that is basically paying into an insurance contract that pays out on a deferral basis. So that money can go into that. And I'm just loosely describing the structure, but that money can be paid into that. It doesn't have to come out to him, and he won't be taxed on it until he takes the future distributions. But the business goes ahead and takes care of their commitment, and they're paying it out. You know how business goes. Does all businesses make it forever?
No.
And then, you know, baseball team, are they always successful? I guess so long as they have billionaires funding them. But thinking that, I wouldn't want to leave any of that $330 million with Philly. Phillies, is that what they're called? Yeah. Baseball team. Yeah, I don't know that I'd leave it, but I'd like to leave it, put it somewhere where I know I can draw it later.
Now, that's not.
And the business itself may want to unload that obligation. They may not want to keep that liability on books.
We've actually seen that in the private sector, though. Some consultants, some executive packages. There's been deferred comp situations, and there have been sort of everything in between. It's just whatever you can nail down with a potential employer here. We've seen the phase out of retirements, or we've seen it where they kind of go into a gray area. They work part-time, and they start working for months. There's all kinds of interesting structures people are putting together for that same thing.
So when you start thinking about these things, these situations, there's ways to work through them, but you know, you might want to call me. You might be biased towards calling me, but you know what? We do a pretty good job at analyzing, running the numbers, and figuring out how to get it done. And if it can't be done, you're going to get a straight up answer right there. And then we have the support team, like the Total Wealth, a great support team from our staff employees, the service team, the other advisors, this done.
You know, I'd like to see this on kind of a closer level. So here's what I'm thinking. We can take producer Angie's salary and we'll just hold on to half of it and we'll defer it into another instrument. And she'll only get half her paycheck now, but in future years, maybe she can get the rest of that. Maybe she can get some growth on it, but maybe just, you know, it'll keep her in a lower tax
bracket. But, you know, there are high income people, you know, in New Orleans. Let's use New Orleans sports teams. I don't know, you know, consider it AAA baseball or AA that just have baseball, but those aren't high income earner money. So with that said, you know, we've got, you know, Pelicans, basketball, pretty good money.
Now that'll catch
maybe
up.
All of them make pretty good money. High income earners, do they need all that income? Well, do something with the part you don't need. Well, okay, football, they got Saints football players, same thing. Okay, well, let's get out of sports to the normal world. Musicians, business people, their successful businesses, the execs, probably can you defer some of that or put that to work elsewhere? How about what if you could put it to work and you create tax-free future income from that? That'd be pretty awesome. Right. You could do it. You need to call me and ask for that book. 504-832-9200 is how you get that book from me. info@gregoryricks.com.
All right, we have a couple of live events coming up, three of them. We have a tax planning live event with Gregory, cover some of this same ground in a little more detail. We have an estate planning lunch and learn as well on the books, and the big wine, wisdom, and food experience is March 19th. That's for those people who are looking for a fiduciary's help and guiding them down their financial path. Call the office for that as well, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.